You know, while we're busy talking about these things, let me share with you just a bit of where Warriors for Christ came from. Sometimes it's good to see where we've come from and what God is doing with us now. When God touched my life, it was in about 1995. Back then, I was very much in the world. I lived a very worldly lifestyle. That doesn't mean that I didn't know God, because I knew God. I knew God quite well. I just chose to, in a sense, turn my back on Him, and I was very, very busy with my own life. It was more important for me to be socialing with people, to be out at the nightclubs. Probably some of you have heard my testimony, but you know what? Me, I could be out 7 nights a week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. When did I sleep? At work, of course. That's what they paid me for, isn't that right? Apparently, yeah. And yes, I thought I was having fun. I thought I was having a good life, but I wasn't. Because you know what? I actually had this huge void inside of me. Yes, I drank like a fish. Today I realize why I used to drink like a fish. Because I was trying to fill something, some huge void that was inside of me that I didn't know how to fill. And yes, I had a lot of pain. I had a lot of hurt in me. You know, I grew up, I was always one of the smallest guys there. I got bullied a lot. I got beaten up. I got beaten senseless every now and then. And, you know, I was not aware of it at the time, but I had a lot of anger and a lot of pain in here. And, you know, alcohol sort of dulls that. The problem is it dulls it for a moment. And then tomorrow it's all back again. Then you have to go back and you have to drink again because you want to forget or you want to feel better. Or, you know, some people actually, their personality is called Jack Daniels. Because when Jack comes into them, they're very funny, they're witty, they can do everything. But when Jack disappears, then they're nothing again. And that's wrong. That's not the way God made us. That's not the way God created us. To make a long story short, God, one night, I found myself in a church. I sat right at the back. There was a visiting evangelist. He was preaching the word of God. And you know what? That night, something amazing happened because something touched me that I never felt before. And I want to say something about that because that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight. How many of you know that there is power in the kingdom of God? Let me tell you something. The power of God is not a myth. The power of God is real. Just because people don't believe in it doesn't make it any less real now than what it was when Jesus walked the earth. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is real. And when He touches you, you feel. You know what? When I put my hand on this girl's head, she doesn't have to wonder whether I'm putting my hand there. She knows it's there. And in the same way, when the hand of God comes and He touches you, you won't have to wonder, ooh, did something just happen to me? You know that you know that you know that something just happened. Amen! There we go. Well, bless God for that. Listen, yeah, those two girls are married, eh? Don't get all clever, yeah, yeah. So. Tony's not a big oak, but he's got a big 357. He knows how to use it. Just stay away. All right. So here's the thing. The power of God is real. Here's my story. That night I was sitting in that church. I didn't really want to be there. I sort of got tricked into being there, but that's a story for a different night. But I'm sitting in this church. I'm sitting at the back. This guy is busy preaching, and you know what? I have these experiences that I never had before. Supernatural experiences. How's this? My chair starts getting hot. I actually feel my backside start burning. What is that? Fire. The fire of God is not a myth. The fire of God is real. And that night, the fire of God was coming down. I can't tell you that it came down for everybody in that meeting, but that night, God had a destiny. God had destined for something to happen in my life that night. And part of that anointing was released so that it could touch my life and change my life. And I want to say something else. I did not have to change. Nobody has to change when God touches you. Because the Bible says in the book of Matthew 11 verse 20, it says that Jesus got upset with the cities in which He did His greatest miracles because they did not repent. Do you hear that? In other words, my friend, I know that this sounds stupid, it sounds crazy, it sounds illogical, but the Word of God tells us that there were people that were healed, people that were crippled, people that were paralyzed, people that were blind, people that were mute. Jesus healed them, but they still did not repent. We should never take the power of God for granted. We should value. Every time you are in a meeting, every time you are somewhere where the anointing and the power of God begins to move, you go on your knees and you praise God for what you are experiencing. Because God doesn't have to do it. When God does it, that's the grace and the mercy of God being extended to man. That night I was sitting in that church and the power of God began to touch me. My seat started getting hot. I started feeling that my backside was burning. Then I started getting heart palpitations. I thought, man, I'm having a heart attack or a panic attack or something. You know what? Have you ever had that experience where your heart is beating so fast and so hard that you can hear it in your ears? You've got this doof, doof, doof. I felt like I was going to faint. Then it was like something began to speak to me and say to me, you mustn't be in this church. You must get out of here. This is not a good place for you to be. And you know what? I was sitting 2 steps away from the door. All I had to do was lift my backside and go, dum, dum. I was at the door, open the door, and I'm out. And my brain spoke to my legs. My brain said to my legs, get up and leave. Guess what? My legs went on strike. Yeah, I know for some of you that's very strange, but that's exactly what happened. Even though I was sending all the signals, I want to get up, nothing worked. You think I was freaked out by what happened before? Now I'm very freaked out because now I think, oh man, my legs aren't working. What on earth is going on here? I wanted to say something and I couldn't speak. It was like, have you ever heard the term arrested in the spirit? That night, God arrested me in that church. You know why? Because God had an appointment with me and he didn't want me to miss it. And you know what? I really just pray that if there's somebody here tonight that needs the same treatment, that God would extend you the same courtesy. Even though I was freaking out that night about what was happening today, I praise God for what happened there because my life would not have changed if God didn't do that in my life. I was arrested in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this man preach. And every single word, it's not coming into my brain, it's coming into my heart. It's cutting through into my heart, and it's actually doing something inside of me. I can feel something is happening inside of me. Anyway, that night, God touched me. Later on, the guy prayed for me. I fell down on the floor, and I had all sorts of supernatural experiences. But what I want to say to you is this. When I got up off of that floor that night, I was never going to be the same person again. You can ask anybody in my family. You can ask any of my friends. That night, I changed. And you know what? Some people sometimes say, we put on masks. You know what? Then my mask has been on for 20 years. It still hasn't fallen off. To me, that is lasting change. Somebody give the Lord a hand, please. That's wonderful. Do you know what I encountered that night? I encountered the power of God. I had gone to church my whole life. I grew up in a religious house. You know what? I had to take a sick letter to Sunday school if I was like, you know, my mother wouldn't allow me to stay at home unless I really had a valid reason. We were in Sunday school from grade 1 right through to matric. I sat in church every day, but can I tell you something? I never experienced God. I never felt the touch of God. I never felt the wind of the Spirit move. I never experienced the breath of God. I didn't know that there was such a thing as fire in the Holy Spirit. I didn't know that God could come and personally touch you with His hand, that you could feel His power. I didn't know any of these things because, you see, I never felt or experienced any of that stuff. With all due respect, most of the times I sat in church, I was bored out of my skull. I'm not saying that it was just the church's fault. Probably a lot of it was with me. But I'm telling you now that until that day, I never felt or experienced anything in the kingdom of God. But that day it changed. I went home that night, very excited about what happened. Yes, confused because I'd never experienced it before. With a lot of questions that I didn't have any answers for. But you know what? Nobody can take away from you what you experience. Nobody. I went on my knees that night and I prayed and I spoke to God and I said to the Lord, Lord, what happened to me tonight was amazing. I've never felt this before in my life. And this touched something very deep inside of me that needed to be touched. And I don't want to miss out and I don't want to lose this. I don't want this ever to go away. And I'll never forget, I was sitting on the bed and this is something I'd never thought about. I never spoke to anybody about, but that day I sat on the bed and I said to the Lord, Lord, you know what, today for the first time, I'm thinking about my life. And I'm thinking about my future. You know, when God touches you, you start thinking about life differently. Before, I thought about the next Joel. I thought about getting drunk and doing stupid things with my friends. But that night, I started thinking for the first time about the real issues of life. I thought about the future. I thought about my family. I thought about God's plan for my life. I thought about all of these things. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I don't know why you put me on this earth. But if you put me here because you want to use me, here I am. I want to be used. I'm available. I don't know what you want to use me for. And I don't really care. But I have one request. I don't want to be forward, but Father, whatever this oak had that prayed for me tonight, I want that. You give me that, and you can use me anywhere you want. Guess what I was asking for? You can call it many things, but for tonight, let's call it the power of God. I was asking God to fill me with His power. And can I tell you something that I've learned over the last almost 20 years that I've been in ministry? Without the power of God, you will not make a difference. I'm very sorry, but I have to say to you that there's a lot of pastors and a lot of preachers and a lot of priests and whatever you want to call them out there that are doing a lot of manual labor, but getting nowhere. Because if you want to change somebody's life, you have to touch the spirit, not the flesh. And unless God works with you, it won't happen. In fact, let me show you this scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures. But it's very powerful. I'm going to get back to this one now. Let me just mark it. I'm going to go to the book of Mark, chapter 16. Listen to this quickly. Mark chapter 16, and I'm going to read to you from roughly verse 15. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." In other words, the first thing that we have to do when we become part of the kingdom of God is what we have received, we have to give. We have to receive. We receive the knowledge that Jesus is the Savior. We receive the knowledge that God is real. We receive the knowledge that God is the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the redeemer. And we have to share that knowledge. Because the Bible says we have to give people the truth. John 8 verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." You know, a lot of people just want us to cast their demons out of them. They come to me and they say, "Oh, you know what, Pastor, I got this demon and that demon, please cast it out." I can't do that. Let me tell you why. Because if you haven't received the truth, you're going to go back and do the same stupid stuff you did to bring it in the first time, and I'm not helping you, I'm hindering your progress. So some people will never get delivered until they haven't received truth. There's no quick fixes in the kingdom of God. You know, some people have this myth that, like, you know, if this oak can just lay hands on me, then everything's going to be different. Forget about it. You have to sometimes first spend some time, receive the word, allow the truth to enter and fill you and change you inside before God will even tell that chocho to go. Amen? So here's what the word of God says. Mark chapter 16, from verse 15. He said to them, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the good news." Look at your neighbor and say, "I have good news for you." Well, bless God, you do, don't you? What is the good news? What is the good news according to you? Jesus can set you free. What is the good news according to Louis the Fly Grasshopper? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus will give you peace. What is the good news according to you? Jesus came to set the captives free. What is the good news according to you? There is life in Jesus. What do you call that life? Abundant life. The thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live a normal life if the Bible says that abundant life is mine. Come on. It's like when there's 10 cars standing there. Okay, let's just go back to what I said earlier. The GTI can be mine, but I choose to get in the Polo. You know, something wrong with me. No, I want what's mine. Give me the Porsche. I want to go to your car lot. It's better stock than mine. Yeah, I like that. But the fact of the matter is, here's the thing. There is good news in the kingdom of God. You got a problem, God has a solution. You got a devil, God has a way of dealing with it. That's good news. You know, I often say to people, you know, sometimes people, when they talk about God, they complain about this, they complain about that. One of the greatest reasons why we battle to get people to church is because of Christians. Because all the Christians ever do is complain, 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 blame God for this, blame God for that, blame God for that. But then they want to invite you to come to their church. I don't want to go to their church, do you? Sounds to me like whatever they're preaching there is going to give me depression, anxiety, fear, hopelessness. I don't want any of that stuff. I want abundant life. And let me tell you something. Abundant life is available to every single person that comes to Christ. That is what the Bible calls good news. So yes, we have to preach the good news. But look what will start happening when we preach the good news. This is amazing. Check this out. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Raise your hands if you believe. What do you believe, son? You believe in Christ. Man, I tell you what, you dodged a bullet there. Because for a while you didn't know what you believed, but then you figured it out. I'm proud of you. Yes, he believes in Christ. He believes Jesus is. What does the Bible mean when it says he that believes? It doesn't mean you believe that Queen Victoria was a great queen or Prince Charles has got big ears. You know, it doesn't mean any of that. We all believe that stuff, but if it gets to Prince Charles, probably I'll get sued from England or something. Don't send it to your family in England. Eh? Just keep it to South Africans. This is a South African only CD. But anyway, when we believe in Christ, when we believe that he's the healer, that he's the redeemer, that he's the deliverer, that he's the savior, when we believe that, these signs will follow. Listen to the signs. In my name, they will drive out demons. Oh. No, but Rian, you don't understand. I'm not equipped. I can't do this. Says who? The Bible says these signs will follow. It doesn't say that you, listen, yeah, this is the misconception some people have. They think that because they are a believer, they have to walk down the street like, how many demons have you got? Ooh, backup, come in, you know? I need backup. No, you don't have that many demons. You're actually okay. Probably I only need George and Stelios. We'll deal with you. That's not a problem. That doesn't mean you must go and look for stuff. But let's say, let me give you an example. Let's say you are somewhere preaching to somebody or you're sharing the gospel with somebody, and the next moment their eyes go all big and this funny voice says, "Stop talking to me." What you gonna do? I'll tell you what most Christians do. Where's the pastor? Where's the phone the pastor? 911. I have a psycho, yeah? No, you don't. You got a demon-possessed person. Sort him out, man. We put them on Ritalin and on all sorts of stuff. What is it? Zoloft, Zorpex. What was that other stuff? Prozac. Yeah, the demon's name is Prozac. Cast Prozac out of there, man. Send it to the pit of hell. God doesn't want it there. If you believe and you are in a situation where you need to confront a demon, God's power is available to you. But let me tell you something. God's power is not available to people who want to be stupid. If you get up 12 o'clock on a Saturday night and you go to the local hangout where all the witches and the warlocks and the Satanists are hanging around and they're busy sacrificing a cat and doing stupid stuff and you want to go and cast out all of their demons, you're going to come short. Because God never sent you there and God never said you must be stupid. Do you understand what I'm saying? They like what they're doing. They don't feel like repenting. They don't feel like changing. Probably God needs to do some other stuff in their life before they can get to that place. But if one of them was to come to you and say, "Listen, yeah, something happened. And, you know what? I'm in trouble. Please, can you pray with me?" You shouldn't be afraid to pray with them. Jesus didn't go and look for work. It came to him. I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm saying to you. Jesus did not walk into the first town that he got to and say, "Who's the most demon-possessed man you got? Let me go and sort out all these demons." No. Jesus dealt with the people that were willing to come to him. Because when somebody is willing to come to you, they've, in their hearts, decided to deal with their problem. I've had some issues in the past. Let's talk about that. Probably this is where God wants me to go. The other day, a woman phones me up. She says to me, no, her husband's full of demons. I said, oh, okay, well, if you say so. Yeah, he's full of demons, and Pastor, I need you to cast them all out. I said, okay, so what's the plan? No, you must come to my house, but please don't tell my husband why you're there. And while you're there, you discern all the demons that's in him, and then you just jump on him and you cast them all out. How many of you know the oak's probably going to beat me up? Come on, I don't want to be funny, but I'm not a very big oak, eh? Probably her husband is 6'5" and he weighs 250 pounds. Probably he's going to be drunk by the time I get there, and he's going to want to be in a fight. That's never going to work. He must come to me. I'm not going to just go to him. Because you see, when I go to him and he finds out why I'm there, he's going to be in a fighting mood instantly. Then people say, oh, but the anointing. Listen, yeah, God doesn't waste his anointing on nonsense. The anointing is there for people that want help. Not for people that want to play games. Too many people today want to play games with God. God doesn't want to help you if you want to play games. God works with people that want. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. When people show God that they want to work out their life, when people show God that they mean business, when people show God that they are willing to repent, then the hand of God moves. When people want to play games, they stay in the pit that they're in. God doesn't help you. One night, a family, somebody phones me. They want me to go and pray for a family member of theirs. I sort of bent one of my own rules there because I knew the people, and I shouldn't have done it. Because the person didn't want me there. The person didn't ask for help. The family is like, oh, this oak, he's got problems and he just doesn't see it and he's deceived and what. I said, all right, I'll go with you. I go there and I sit in his lounge. This oak is like, all, he's got no problems, he's got no issues. He's, you know, according to him, his life is perfect and I must just take my stuff and go. So I said to the lady, I said to the people that took me there and this oak's wife, listen, yeah, it's better for me to leave. No, Rion, you don't understand. You know, this man, he's got these problems and this. I said, but you heard him, he doesn't want help. Oh, no, please, you must make a plan. Please, let's go into the other room and pray. I said, okay. We go into the other room, we pray. I bind all the demons, I send every curse to hell. I'm waging warfare there. We go back into the room, I say to the guy, do you need prayer? No. I said, I'm leaving. So I left. You know what they decided to do? Well, if Rion doesn't want to do it, we're going to do it. Guess what? They ended up in hospital. He beat them all up. No, I'm serious. He beat them all up. But you see, you don't go and stir when it's not the right place to stir. You can't challenge stuff if somebody likes. You know, the Bible says, give the devil no place. When somebody is willing to get rid of their devils, God will help them. If they like their devils and they want to be buddy-buddy and sleep with their devils, there's nothing you can do about it. Then you first pray for God to start touching their hearts and bring them to a place of repentance. Okay. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Okay, so how do we sum this up? The Bible says that when we come to belief, to faith in Christ, we enter the realm of the kingdom of God, which is a supernatural place. Yes, my friend, whether you believe it or not, it is a place where you can actually walk on water. That doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily do it. That means that it has happened in the kingdom of God. Sometimes God allows a certain sign for a certain time because that will touch somebody's heart. That doesn't mean God will do it all the time. We are all different. We're living in a different time to where the disciples were. We are experiencing different things than what they are experiencing. The sign that God has for this generation might be different from the one he had for the previous generation. But the fact of the matter is, there is something supernatural available to us that can change our life. And we need to be there in that kingdom so we can receive it. It is a supernatural place where disease and sickness that to us can be a death sentence or is life-threatening or whatever, in this place it doesn't count. Because that's not the way God sees it. Listen to me carefully. Who put you together? God. Who knows what's wrong? God. Who knows how to fix it? God. But you first have to have him touch you. In the kingdom of God, we can lay our hands on the sick and they will get well. In the kingdom of God, we can speak to demons and they have to leave. In the kingdom of God, we experience the realm of the supernatural. Now, getting back to what I started speaking about. That night, I was in a place where the power of God was available. Remember a week or two ago, I spoke to you about that Jesus was in a place, and the Bible says that the power of God was available to him to heal the sick. Do you remember that? Okay. The power of God was available to him. Now, let's ask the question, is the power of God available to us now? Okay, well, let's rather ask this question, is there need in this church tonight? Raise your hands if you have a need. Well, do you think I can do anything in my natural, normal, fleshly, physical capacity to do anything about your need? No. But the power of God is available. The power of God is available. Now, I want to show you something interesting. Just follow with me quickly. I'm going to take you to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. And I want to show you what the Bible says. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves, in whom we have the redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Okay. For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. The word dominion is also the word power. God has rescued us from the power of darkness. Here's a revelation for you. There are two different types of supernatural power. There is the power that comes from God and the power that comes from Satan. Both are real, whether you like it or not. Why do you think people go to witch doctors? Because often when they do stuff, it works. Like they curse a marriage, sometimes the marriage fails. Or they curse somebody to lose their job, and then they end up losing their job. Or they do certain muti for people to get sick, and they actually do get sick. There is power in the kingdom of darkness. But the power in the kingdom of darkness is destructive. And it is limited. Whereas the power in the kingdom of God is not destructive. It builds up. It glorifies God. It brings healing. It brings restoration. It brings deliverance. And it is limitless. Here's one of the problems that we are faced with today. Mankind knows that there are things that they can't solve normal ways. A lot of people have come to a place in their life that they realize that, you know what, I'm sitting with this problem and I've taken this pill and that pill and that pill, or I've applied this plan and I've spoken to that expert and nothing is changing. Probably my problem is supernatural. But the churches that they attend has never even spoken about the supernatural, never mind demonstrated the power of God to them. So what do they end up doing? No, they actually go to a witch doctor. Or they go to a spiritist, or they go to a fortune teller, or they have somebody perform a seance so that they can find out what their dead granny did to solve the problem. You understand? People go and delve in the wrong side of the supernatural because they realize that they need supernatural power to overcome the problem that they are sitting with in their life. Now, that is just sad. And can I tell you why that is sad? Because that power is available to every single one of us. Just like the power of God was available to Jesus to heal the sick, so the power of God is available to us tonight to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. The power of God is always available because guess what? God is a Father. And unlike some of you that have had fathers that were abusive and maybe drunk and full of nonsense, God is the perfect Father. In His eyes, even this oak is cute. How's that? In His eyes, you deserve to be blessed. So does she, so do you, so do you, so do you. That means tonight the power of God is available for whatever it is that you raised your hand for just now when you said, oh, I need something, I have some need that I need a supernatural breakthrough or a spiritual breakthrough. Let me tell you something, my friend. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, is not going to change anything. I believe it. And there's a lot of other people here that believe it. But the power of God is available. Anything the devil does, God can do better. And guess what? You got to pay the devil for what he does in your life. And I'm not talking about the 2,000 rand you had to give the witch doctor. I'm talking about for the rest of your life, you're going to have some devil riding your back because you went to the occult to solve your problems. When you come to God, he gives it freely because he's a father and he cares for you. And what God does is motivated by love. What Satan does is motivated by his need to destroy your life. Which power do you think you want in your life? You better not want the other one. You better want the power of God. Now let's talk about the power of God. Let me show you an interesting scripture. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for everyone who believes. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for those who believe. Is there anybody in this church tonight that believes in the gospel? Then you have access to the power of God. Do you believe in the gospel? Why didn't you raise your hand? Now I'm just checking, you know. It's cold. Come here, let me make you hot. I think you need some fire. The gospel, we are not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God to those that are saved. Raise your hands if you believe in the gospel. Then I want to say something to you. Inside of you resides the power of God. Inside of you is the power of God. Come here. Do you believe? Do you believe? Stand behind her. Actually, you come and stand here with me. You come and stand there. Come stand here. You're going to be a guinea pig tonight. She says she believes. The Bible says that if we believe the gospel, the power of God is available to us. Okay, so you believe in the gospel. You believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Amen. You have faith in His word, right? Okay, I'm going to read you the scripture again. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. Right. What happens when the power of God manifests? People get healed. Demons come out. There's signs, there's wonders, there's miracles. The supernatural power of God is available to deal with that which we can't normally deal with. Amen? All right. The power of God is in you. You believe. Stretch out your hand towards her. Just keep it there. You don't have to do anything. Just keep it there. Just give it a bit of time. Okay, now don't stop. Go forward, go forward, go forward. You don't have to touch her. Just stretch out your hand towards her. If you want to see, come forward. Come and have a look. Something supernatural is happening to this woman. What is it? Well, the power of God is being touched inside of her. Okay. Now, here's what I want you to say. What are you feeling? You're getting hot. Why is she getting hot? Because the power of God sometimes manifests through fire. What is the purpose of the fire? It cleanses. It purifies. Sometimes it heals. Sometimes it restores. But often it just destroys the works of darkness. What is Satan's ultimate destiny? It's called the lake of fire. When God deals with Satan, he deals with Satan through fire. It's the only thing that Satan understands. When God comes into the place, the fire of God comes in and the devil goes, and he runs. Okay, stretch out your hand towards her. You say this, in Jesus' name, receive the fire. Can she do that? Of course she can, because the power of God is inside of her. Say it again. Oh, what's happening to her now? The pot is boiling much better now. Amen? Stand behind that one for me, please. You getting hot? Okay, now you've given some fire. Take some fire in Jesus' name. Right. You said that you were cold. Come here, son. Bring your friend with. I see tonight, you are you listening to me? You look like you're in the twilight zone. I'm just going to get you back quickly. All right. Amen. Listen to the scripture again. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is, listen, wait for it, the power of God for everyone who believes. I want you to hear something. I believe. I believe that God is capable of doing what the Word of God says He will do. And therefore, I believe that these two boys, I don't care what you see in the future, but God sees something amazing. Stand here. I know you've been going through a bit of a difficult time. I heard a rumor. You've been battling. Do you want to get out of the pit? Do you? Right? Just move my thing there quickly. We're going to get out of the pit now. It's going to be a bit strange for some of you, but listen to me. The kingdom of God is a weird place. Just bear with me. Right, here's what you're going to do now. Do you remember when you used to do leapfrog at school? No, you bunked that day. Yeah, I thought so. Oh, that was in primary school. Yeah. Okay, here's what we're going to do. You're in a pit right now. Right, jump, jump, jump. Come. One. Two. Three. Four. Turn around. Come this way. One. Oh, now what's happening? Something is happening. You see, the devil doesn't want him to jump. Why not? Because tonight he's coming out of the pit. Give me your hand. Give me your hand. Jump. Jump. One, two, three. Come, come, come. Jump. Ay. In Jesus' name. Fire! Release him. Release him. Release him. Come, come, come. If you can't jump, you walk. There we go. There we go. Amen. The fire of God is going to be on you, son. Tonight, this thing is letting you go. Tonight, he will vomit you out. You are not a victim, and you will not be a victim anymore. Tonight, when you leave this place, your spirit is going to be light. Your mind is going to be clear, and you will have new vision for the future. Fire! You cold? Raise your hands. Fire! We'll ask him whether he's still cold when he gets up. Amen. Now, the Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. The Bible says that if we are not ashamed of the gospel, then the power of God is available to us. I want to put it to you that that's one of the problems that we face in the church. God does amazing things for people, but they are too ashamed to tell others what God has done. That's why we are a powerless generation. Because in our own funny way, we are ashamed of the gospel. We don't want to share what God did. We don't want to share who God is. We will talk about the rugby. We will talk about the soccer. We will skinner about Mrs. Pochenpool and Auntie Ferreira. Hello? But we are not going to say what God did for us. And that has to stop. If you want to experience the power of God in your life, you have to stop being ashamed of the gospel. You have to start allowing the boldness that God has put in every single one of us, and you have to begin to speak the word of God. And it doesn't mean that you have to preach to people. Tell me something. When God does something nice for you, can't you share it with people? You should. The more you do that, the more the power of God will begin to flow through you. Why do you think Jesus experienced the power of God to the level that he did? Yes, we can argue that he was the Son of God, but that wasn't the only reason. Jesus, in all his teachings, in everything he said to people, glorified God. And because he put God first and because he gave God all the glory, when he stretched out his hand, it wasn't just his hand, but the power of God that moved through his hand. Amen? The power of God is real. And the power of God is available. Now listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. It's the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Oh, did you hear that? Imagine going to a meeting. Listen to this again. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. Ooh, I want to stop right there. You know what, tonight, this is what I could do. I could impress all of you by swallowing the Webster's Collegiate Dictionary and using huge words that even I don't know what they mean. And you're all going to walk out of here thinking, that was impressive. But what did he say? There's a lot of people on a Sunday that walk out of the church saying, that was impressive, but what did he say? Somebody shared a message like that with me the other day. Going to church, listening to something, but not knowing what the people are talking about. Jesus said, unless you become as a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Do little children understand big words? No. I know you can't see that in me, but I'm 4 years old. And when I sit in a church and somebody preaches big words, the four-year-old in me thinks, let me rather count the lights. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Come on. Don't look at me in a funny way. Okay, so you do something different. You look at the ladies' hairstyles or the size of the men's feet or something stupid like that. The Apostle Paul says, when he went to preach the gospel, listen, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. In other words, he was not trying to impress people with his vocabulary. He wasn't trying to impress people with his wisdom. Let me tell you who Paul was. Paul was a Pharisee who studied under a man by the name of Gamaliel, who was like the cream of the crop. The school that he came from was considered the best that there was. And when the other Pharisees heard that he studied under this man and who he was, they were like, we're not worthy, you know. But Paul did not use that to touch people's lives. Guess what he used? Listen to this. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. How do you touch people's lives? By what the Bible calls a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And can I tell you something? People got saved in Paul's meetings, left, right, and center. Just like people got changed and people repented in Jesus' meetings, left, right, and center. Not because of what Jesus said. Do you know what Jesus used to preach? It's called parables. The disciples once asked him, but why do you speak in these funny things? Why do you speak to people that way? And Jesus said, because I want to take complicated spiritual concepts and bring it to the people in a simple way. That's biblical preaching. Not preaching in a way that like is way above people's heads, but preaching in a very simple way. But what do you think it is about Jesus' preaching that impacted people the most? The demonstration. When you went to one of Jesus' meetings, well, we can't really call it meetings because people just followed Jesus everywhere. His whole day was a meeting. You know, from the moment he got up until he went to bed, there were people trying to get to him. I shared with you the other day that the woman that had the issue of blood, when she came, there were so many people around Jesus that he nearly got crushed by the crowds. You know, you need a lot more than 3 people to crush somebody. You need like a couple of 100 people pushing in from all sides to try and get to the person before you're going to get crushed. So there was crowds and crowds of people around Jesus all the time. Let's ask the question, why? Is it because of last Sunday's good sermon? I don't think so. Even in Jesus' case, I doubt whether most of the people even remembered what he preached. But can I tell you what they did remember? The man with the shriveled hand, whose hand got healed in front of everybody. They remembered the woman with the issue of blood that touched his cloak and suddenly started screaming because she was healed. They remembered the man that walked around blind and Jesus spat on the ground, made clay and pushed it in his eyes and he began to see. They remembered all of these things. And that's what changed their lives. Today, if we want to make an impact, we're not going to make an impact by preaching a good sermon. A good sermon is necessary. But the good sermon is only the foundation. The way God builds on the foundation is by what he does after the sermon. The sermon prepares the ground for the Spirit of God to begin to move. But it's when the Spirit of God begins to move that the sick get healed. It's when the Spirit of God begins to move that demons start coming out of people. It's when the Spirit of God begins to move that we see miracles and signs and wonders. So what do you want tonight? A good sermon or miracles, signs and wonders? Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm over the sermon already, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Because I know what God wants to do. I know God in his heart wants to touch people's lives. I know God in his heart wants to cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. That's what Jesus said we're supposed to do, isn't it? The power of God needs to come down. The power of God needs to begin to manifest. I want you to look at this boy here. Some of you thought just now when I was talking that I was talking a bunch of rubbish. Actually, you should look at both of them. This one is shaking in a funny way. This one is shaking in a funny way. And I can tell you right now, this one is stuck on the floor. You want to pick him up, he's going to go nowhere. Oh, but Rian, why does God do things like that? Well, why don't you ask him? I can't answer everything for him. But what I do know is right now, the power of God is dealing with something that Prozac can't deal with. Hello? And years of counseling and psychotherapy is not going to even touch the root of that problem. Won't even come near. Hello? But maybe half an hour under the power of God and he will never be the same boy again. Oh, what do you think is going to help him the most? Somebody give the Lord a hand, please. And you? It's your first time here. You haven't run away yet. I'm proud of you. Come here. Come here. All right, my friend, you come stand here. All right, now, forgive me, but I want to use you as an example. You are an African, am I right?
Yes.
All right, and you guys, you believe in the witch doctor, you believe in sorcery, witchcraft, and all of that. You believe in that stuff, right?
Yes.
Have you been to a witch doctor before?
Yes, I've been.
You've been?
Yes.
Then I'm so glad you came to church tonight. I'm going to have to pray all those devils out of you. he's an honest one, this one. You know, most of the time they lie to me. No. Why did you go to them?
Because I believe there's something not right about me.
Oh, you thought there was a problem and you realized that the problem needed some supernatural help to go away.
Yeah.
Am I right? Now, let me teach you something. When the witch doctor does that, he uses the devil's power, but God can do it for you for free. Do you want him to do it for you for free? Raise your hands. Take it. Whatever he went to the witch doctor for, it'll clear up today in Jesus' name. He never has to go back to them. Release him and go from him now. Release him, release him, release him, release him, release him. Get out of him. Get out of him. Get out of him. Get out of him. Yeah, you be quiet and leave as well. Get out of him. In Jesus' name. Okay, we're going to give the pot a bit of time to boil there. Amen. Can somebody say God is good? God is good. God is good. Well, bless God. Okay. There's somebody here, you've been battling a lot with headaches. Come forward for me, please. You battled, yeah, come. Anybody, it doesn't matter who, this is the word I got, headaches. I want to pray for you now. Not afterwards. The anointing is here now. Come now. Headaches. Well, praise God. God is good. Amen. Oh. Oh. What's happening to your fingers? They're going all funny. Hey? Tell me what's happening to you. Hey! Hey! All right, that explains a lot. Hey! Yeah. We'll talk to him again just now. Right now, he's a bit not there. Well, bless God. Amen. I can tell you one thing, when he left the witch doctors out, he didn't say, Aish. Actually, he did say, "Aish, that was expensive." Yeah, well, God is good. Amen! Yeah, bless God. All right. Headaches. Ed, just anoint the people for me quickly, please. A while ago, a week or two ago, we spoke on that scripture where it said that the power of God was available to Jesus to heal the sick. That will never change. It is the power of God that heals. It is the power of God that delivers. It is the power of God that sets free. No man can do it. No woman can do it. No institution can give it to you. God is the one that does it. But I want to say something to you. It is available tonight. It is always available where believers come together and they put their faith in God. Let's ask the question. Do you have faith in God? Have they anointed you? Take it. Give me space. Move away from this man. Get out of him. Now, I've seen you. Come off his head. Come off his head. Fire! Come off his head. Now. I want you to listen to me, son. There is a curse of mental illness on your family. That's what's starting to come for you now. It's going to come out of you now. It's going to release you. Look at me. Look at me. I'm speaking to the curse of mental illness, mental disorder. I see you there. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you are going to come out of this man. Come out! Okay. The spirit of Alzheimer's, you come with. 1, 2, 3. Come out! Release him. Release him. How are you feeling? Oh, you didn't expect that, did you? Give the Lord a hand, please. Well, you guys battle with headaches. Okay, here's the first thing you're going to do. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Wave goodbye to your headache. Come. Do it by faith. Amen. I would like it if one or two of you just saying, goodbye. 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 Yes. All right. Release them in Jesus' name. Hey! I need you all to move up a bit, please. Amen. You battle with headaches? Raise your hands. Leave him. Now. Release her. Release her. Oh. No, don't you fight me. Don't you fight me. Fire! Stay down. Leave her. Leave her. Just move this lady away. Stay down. I said stay down. Don't you fight me, devil. Move that lady for me, please. Ma'am, I need you out of here. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Hello? Somebody remind me. For those who believe in my name, these signs shall follow. What are the signs that will follow? They will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will get healed. Do you get to choose what is supposed to happen when you pray for somebody? No, God knows what must happen. You know, one of the biggest problems that we have is people want to tell God what to do. I'll give you an example. Now, we prayed for somebody, like let's say this, okay. And a demon of mental illness came out of him and it came screaming and, you know, he made a big scene and wada wada. Then everybody else in the queue thinks, ooh, Lord, please, I don't want to have stuff like that happen to me. What if that's the only way for it to come out? You know, when you're very nauseous, the only way to feel better is you got to vomit. You can keep it in, but then you keep the poison in. Probably you'll die from it. Now, that's what a lot of people do. They come to a place like this. They want God to heal them. But when God touches them and wants to do what needs to be done, they're lying there like, oh, nothing must happen. Nothing must happen. Nothing. Oh, well, nothing can happen. God won't force His will on you. But you better receive it when God wants to do something for you. Amen? Why do some demons manifest? I don't know. They just like to. But whether they manifest or they don't manifest, they're going to the same place. They go to the pit of hell because that's where they belong. Amen? Amen. Praise God for that.